The message I have for you this morning is interesting. I wrote this, or put this together, for 4th of July. And it was one of those that God just never let me do. I have several of those. I have a pile of things that God puts them on my heart. I write them, I set them aside, and then whenever it's time, I guess, I kind of thumb through them, you know, and it's like, yep, that's the one. It's kind of what I did. I actually set this out last weekend, that I knew that today would be the day for this message. It's titled Liberty or Freedom? Liberty or Freedom? That's interesting words, right? I mean, we hear about liberty, you know. We're a liberated country, right? We got our liberty from oppression. Freedom, that's an interesting word as well. I want to start, we're going to kind of go back in time a little ways. Paul is actually addressing the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians. And as he's addressing the Corinthians, his passage, the scripture he's using, is referring to an old story of Moses being on the mountain with God. The Israelites watched in fear as the entire top of the mountain was covered in storm clouds and lightning and flashing and thundering. And I mean, if you're on the bottom of all that and you can't see the top of the mountain anymore and it's flashing and booming and thundering and storming on top of there, I mean, we'd probably think pretty much the same way the Israelites did. Moses did. God done killed him. He's done, you know. And, of course, we know some of that story of where they kind of run amok in the process of all of that. But finally, Moses appears coming down the mountain. He's coming down the mountain with the tablets, Ten Commandments. But he had something else on him, too. Moses was glowing like a light bulb. The glory of God was so strong upon him that he was literally glowing. And everybody got afraid of him. I mean, now they know he ain't dead, but maybe he is dead, and now he's something else. Because now he's glowing. There's this shining coming off of him. When he had asked to see the Lord, when he's on top of that mountain, he wants to see God's face. And God simply tells him, dude, you can't. You can't look upon my glory, it'll kill you. Your body, your human nature is not designed for it. You can't see me like that. Well, Moses is really adamant about it. God, I want to see your glory. So God kind of compromises with him. So I tell you what, you stand in the crevice of this rock, in the cleft of the rock, and I'll pass by you. So the Bible describes where God put his hand over Moses as he passed by. Basically, so Moses couldn't look upon him, it would have killed him. I have to wonder, what would have happened? Vaporized? I mean, kind of makes me think of that, you know? So he puts him in the crevice of the rock, he passes by him, and he covers him with his hand. The result is Moses is now glowing with the effects of God's glory. I really like this. I think that many of us lack that desire sometimes to really find ourselves in the presence of God in such a way that his glory is reflecting out of us. The result of this, as he comes down this mountain, God's glory upon him, folks were afraid of him. So he covered his face with a veil in order to hide the glory of God from their sight when he would address them. Now, over time, this shining, this glory, began to fade off of him. But up until that time, it was gone, where anybody couldn't see it anymore. He wore a veil when he addressed the Israelites. Paul's expressing this new covenant through Christ as he continues in this passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 12 through 18. And I think we actually have the right versions now in the Amplified. I love reading out of the Amplified. Amber, you're a rock star. And I love reading out of the Amplified because it kind of flows along with the New King James, but it stretches it out. It expounds some meanings out of some things. So starting with verse 12 in chapter 3, it says, "Since we have such a glorious hope and confident expectation, we speak with great courage. And we are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face, so that the Israelites would not gaze at the end of the glory which was fading away. But in fact, their minds were hardened, for they had lost the ability to understand. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed only in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, Moses' writings, a veil of blindness lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns in repentance and faith to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Emancipation from bondage and true freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I like definitions. I like to know what I'm talking about. At least sound like I know what I'm talking about. The definition of liberty. Definition of liberty is the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, maybe their behavior or political views. The power or scope to act as one pleases. I mean, you think about liberty. You think about having liberty to act as we please. We have that right. It's pretty rampant today, right? I mean, we see it. Broadly speaking, liberty is the ability to simply do as one pleases, or a right or immunity enjoyed by prescription or by grant, privilege. But liberty is a synonym for the word freedom. Liberty entails the responsible use of freedom under the rule of law without depriving anyone else of their freedom. So you have the freedom, this liberty, to do as you please without depriving anyone else of their freedom. Now our culture today seems to be hung in this, you know, and we have this sense of, you know, whatever feels right for you, awesome. You do you, I'll do me. We'll all be just fine. And what we've done is we've taken the equation out of a standard. You know, I don't know if any of you ever watched any old movies or something that were maybe in London, in Europe, where the big Ben, the big clock would chime, and everyone would look at that clock and set their watch. You ever seen that in a movie? Why is that so? Why'd they do that? Because Big Ben was the standard for time. So in order to be correct, you wanted to make sure you adjusted to that standard. Well, that's what God is for us. God and His Word is our standard. Whenever it's spoken, we should check ourselves and adjust accordingly. But today, because of this rampant liberty and freedom view, we don't do that anymore. Because, whatever suits you, you live your life, I'll live mine, we'll all be okay. The definition of freedom is the power to do what we want to do. The power to do what we want to do. The ability to move or act freely. We have religious freedom, we have academic freedom, etc. Freedom is the state of being free from any oppression, while liberty is the freedom to act in one's own way. Liberty is a significant concept because people enjoying liberty have to take responsibility for their actions performed. So even though you may be free to do whatever you choose, you still have to be responsible for your actions. Some actions will create, well, all actions create consequence. Some are good, some are bad. Liberty is not the absence of all restraints. Peace and order in society can be maintained only by putting constraints on people. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like if we didn't have any constraints? I mean, I find it interesting that our Oklahoma Highway Patrol reports a lot today of the amount of people they're stopping that are in excess of 100 miles an hour. I heard one report, one at 1 OHP, I think they're on the Kilpatrick Turnpike. Lady's running 108 miles an hour. He followed her for several miles, trying to decide what was she up to. Wasn't any other traffic, so he just followed her. Finally stops her, and she was aggravated that he stopped her because she was in a hurry. 108 miles an hour.
Why?
I mean, we don't have the liberty to do that because we have the constraints of law. Without the constraints of law, we would live in utter chaos. I know it looks as though we live in utter chaos now, but without the constraints of law, this wouldn't even compare to the Wild West today. It would be the Wild East. That's got to be worse than the Wild West, right? Yeah, that was free, Josh. That's not in my notes. Freedom refers to power to do something worthy. That's something really that we might not consider. Freedom refers to power to do something worthy, which should be desirable in our society. We should desire to do something worthy with the freedoms that we have. And I think as we're gathered here this morning, we're doing just that. But many won't do this. Many won't gather together to hear the Word of God or to do anything else. 2 Corinthians 3:17 goes back to that saying, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." It's that emancipation from bondage. It is true freedom. Liberty is true freedom. Now, there's something else that comes into play here. Jump to Psalms 91:1. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, we've looked at liberty. We looked at freedom. But have you ever considered what it means to abide in something? Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Again, it's a pretty interesting passage of Scripture. Without me, Jesus is saying, you can't do anything. Verse 10 goes on to say, John 15, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love." Jesus was all about his Father's business. The definition of the word abide: to bear patiently, tolerate, endure without yielding, to withstand, to wait, to await, to accept without rejection, to remain in a fixed state, unchanging. Continue in place, or sojourn, which is a temporary resident. So we are to bear patiently in him. We are to tolerate things because of him. We're to endure without yielding because of his Spirit in us. To withstand, to wait or await. To accept without rejection what the Lord has for us. When we are abiding in his presence, in his Spirit, we find true liberty. The freedom from the bondage of sin, yet bound to his word and his way. Even though we're free, we're still bound. This brings about a thought to me, and I did not look up the scriptures, but I preached this message a long time ago about a bondservant. What was a bondservant? A bondservant was simply a slave. Now, in those days, slavery, someone who was a slave was ever so often, and I don't know all the rules and regulations here, but ever so often they were to be set free. You know, if they served a period of years as a slave to a master, after that period of time, by law, they were to be set free. If, for instance, you were a slave, maybe you had a pretty decent master. Maybe you liked your job. Maybe the guy treated you well. Maybe you lived well. So when that time came for you to be set free, you would go to your master and say, "I don't really want to go anywhere. Maybe I don't have anywhere else to go. I would rather stay and serve you." So what he would do is he would call you a bond servant. And he would take you to the doorway, and with an awl, he would pierce your ear, marking you as a bondservant. In other words, Now you're willingly a slave. Interesting thought. But that's exactly what we are when we come to Christ. We're no longer a slave to sin. We're now a bondservant to the Master. We've allowed him to mark us as one of his. In 1808, William Wirt, who was a biographer, later became an attorney, the Attorney General of the United States. He put together this speech that was spoken in 1775 by Delegate Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry was addressing the floor and the president of the convention in Virginia. And this excerpt is the conclusion of that speech. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry wrote that in 1775. To give me liberty or give me death. Give me the freedom to choose my way. But yet, in the process of that freedom to choose, my only option is to serve the Lord. It's death to me, life with Christ. It's time to remove that veil, to have an encounter with God's glory face to face. I've preached a message in the past called Encounter versus Experience, or Experience versus Encounter, whichever way you want to look at it. See, we all have a lot of experiences in life. We might have an experience today. Maybe God moves on your heart today. Maybe when we have an altar call, you come. There might even be moments of tears because you're sorry for the life that you're leading, the sin that you've allowed in your life. And you come to the Lord and you cry out to him to save you, to cleanse you, to pour through you. But when you get up and you walk out those doors, you go back into that same lifestyle. What you had here was an experience, an emotional thing, just an emotional time. You let your emotions lead you to the altar, but nothing really changed. You walk back out into the same thing that you were in before you got here. You go back to doing the same thing. I had a lot of experiences in my lifetime. I grew up in church. My mom was a church secretary. My dad was a deacon. My mom said I had to go to church unless I was dead. I ain't been dead yet. So we went every time the doors were open. We had a 5-day revival. 5 days I was at church. Just because I was there didn't change me. Because I was walking out the same way I walked in. I had several experiences in my life where the Spirit of the Lord moved on me. I came to the altar guilty. I came to the altar maybe crying. I came to the altar really with a repentant heart saying, God, I don't want to be this way anymore. But when I left that experience, I went right back out into my same lifestyle. Nothing really changed in me. But see, what happens is when we have an encounter with God, an encounter changes us forever. We're never the same again. If you want to see a version of an encounter, we look at the gentleman named Saul, persecutor of Christians, chasing them down, hunting them down. He was getting paid to do it. But he has an encounter with the Holy God on a road to Damascus. And what happens? Saul is no longer the same person. When his eyesight is given back to him after being blinded, he's now called Paul. He's no longer the same one he was, never to go back again. I had a similar encounter, a very dark moment of my life, where when I surrendered that night, everything changed. I knew then I can't go back to who I was. This can't be just another experience because I can't go through that again. It was life or death for me that night. So I chose life, and I still to this day pursue with everything I can. Doesn't mean that I've been perfect this whole time. I stumble, I fall, I have to repent time and time again. God, I failed once again to be who you've called me to be. But each time I've gotten up, I've gotten stronger. Each time I've defeated a weakness in my life, the enemy may look for another one, but he's not getting me with that one again. You know? That's what it means to abide in God's power, in His Spirit. We've got the liberty and the freedom to be whoever we want to be, but that liberty and freedom also gives us choice. It gives us choice as to who we're going to be. No one can tell me I can't follow God. No one can force me to follow Him. That's the freedom that comes in the liberty that we have. So it's by choice I become a bondservant. I've allowed Him to mark me. And I do everything in my power to live according to His Word from that moment forward. It's time to remove the veil. It's time to quit hiding from the glory of God. You know, I've told you about the vision that I had when I was youth pastor in Durango, where the warrior angels came in and opened our sanctuary doors, but nothing came in. And when I went there, it was the glory of God in the outside in our foyer, just this boiling ball of fire. And I'm like, I don't understand this. Why are you out here? Why are you not in here with us? And God simply told me, my glory can't come until you invite it. God's glory can't come upon you until you invite it. Moses wouldn't have come down that mountain glowing like a light bulb if he had not pursued the willing heart to God. I want to see you. I want to see your glory. You know, it was until the moment that God passed by him. He spent however many days on that top of that mountain in the presence of God. But it was until he begged to see God's glory that he came down shining like a light bulb. It's time to remove the veil. It's time to see God's glory face to face. To remove the covering from our hearts and let the fire of God consume us, burning away the impurities and making us whole, purifying our value before Him. It's time for liberty and freedom in our hearts. Lord, our cry today is to transform our hearts. It's with the freedom that we serve Him. It's with the liberty that we have to meet in this place today. But what are we doing with it? Are we going to walk out of here the way we came in this morning? Now, I'm not saying that anyone in this place today is just guilty of sin. But are you going to leave here the way you came? Are you going to walk out of here just in the same ho-hum manner in which you came? Well, it's Sunday. We're supposed to go to church. That's what we do on Sundays, right? I mean, we've whittled that down because now, for the most part, we only go once a week, right? I grew up where we had Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service. And again, if we had revival, it might be 5, 6, 7, 8 days every day. Well, I had school. Didn't matter. Well, let's get out early. Not necessarily. You know? Because it was all about the power of God moving in us, not our convenience. We've watered down our desire for God's glory to the point where we simply make it our convenience to serve Him in whatever manner we choose. I'm preaching like an evangelist today, aren't I? Brother Larry, you can come mop this up. I'm just going to burn them up today. What are you going to do with this? I mean, we do. We come and we hear words from God, or maybe we listen to preaching on TV or on the radio or podcasts, whatever it might be. What do you do with that? Where does it go when you turn it off? You know, my son and I were working. We had to work yesterday in Tulsa. And he come in the door with a question. He listens to a lot of podcasts. He likes listening to The Unashamed with Phil Robertson and Jace and Alan. Well, Alan's a preacher. Phil has his kind of mindset of how he believes, and you're probably not going to sway that. Jace is kind of like the loose cannon in that, you know. He kind of chases things around. But the question that my son asked me, pretty solid. Apparently in their discussion on their podcast, they were discussing when Judas betrayed Jesus. And my son asked me, do you think he's in hell? Because he said, he killed himself, right? Well, so the Bible records that he hung himself. Well, is he in hell? How you going to answer that today, folks? I use a very pat answer in those situations. Not my call. It's not my call. But it brought about a discussion. Something he heard brought about a discussion, which when you discuss with your dad who's a preacher, you're going to get a lot. I mean, as far as I was concerned, he opened the door, so I kicked her wide open, you know? and I wound up later sending him a passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 6, the whole thing. I wonder if he just copied it off and texted it to him. Here's you something to look at. You know? I'd encourage you. Look at Romans chapter 6. Mark it down. Read it when you get home. See how it affects you. How it moves you. Because see, that's what it means. We have the liberty and the freedom to serve the Lord to the best of our ability. Nobody can stop us. Nobody can tell us we can't. But he gives us the opportunity. And he said, if you'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty, if you'll abide in me, I'll abide in you. If you come to me hungry, I'll feed you. If you come to me thirsty, I'll give you drink. And when you eat of me and drink of me, you'll never be hungry or thirsty again. Now, it's obvious I eat regularly. I like to eat. But when you think about spiritual things, the thought that we can eat and drink of him, his word, his power, his blood, his body, from now to eternity, there will be nothing else that will ever sustain us like this. Nothing else will ever satisfy. We seek all kinds of pleasures in our life. We want lots of stuff. But what do we really need the most? We need his presence. And we need his power in us. Because without it, we're going to run amok. Just like those children of Israel. The bottom of that mountain. Their leadership, they think, is vaporized. So now they start doing some stupid things. Look at our world today. For whatever reason, we've allowed ourselves to run amok. We've turned away from the things of God. We've watered down his message. His message has never changed. His word is never, it's a standard. It's just like old Big Ben. It's what we should be turning our life to. It's what we should be adjusting to, not the other way around. God's not going to adjust to us. I preached a message this morning online. Wasn't going to do that. I was just going to come here and do this one. But in the middle of the night, I hear this word, my Jesus. And then God starts asking me things or pouring into my spirit in the middle of the night. We create our own Jesus. We shape and model him to fit us. We shape and model him to fit our lifestyle so that we don't feel as guilty about what we do, what we say, where we go. It's not how it works. That's not how it works, because there's only one. And he was about his father's business. And he's calling us today. Pick up your cross. Come and follow me. What you do with this message is up to you. Because you have the liberty and the freedom to do that. What you choose from this, how you choose to respond. But I'm asking today, Lord, transform us into the image of your glory. God, I want your glory shining out of me. Let it be a light that draws all men unto you. The Bible calls us to be a lamp, right? We're the light. He is the light in us. Scripture says that he's the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. He shines through us. I can't draw anybody to me. Who'd want to be me? But yet he in me draws all men. I love that one song, Burn Like a Fire. Now burn like a fire inside of us. Consume us, God. That this not be just another experience on a Sunday morning. But God, that we have a life-changing encounter with you today, and we don't walk out of here the way we came in. If you would just bow your heads with me this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the challenge of your word. God, you're our standard. You're everything that we need in this life. You're the only thing we need in this life. God, today I ask you, challenge our hearts. Challenge our hearts. Open us up, Father. Open the closet doors, the places that we keep things hidden. And God, clean us out in this place today. That we don't walk out of here the way we came in. That God, we walk out of here with an encounter that changes us forever. I'm just going to ask you this morning one thing. You have the liberty and the freedom to choose. I'm going to ask you this morning to take the time to spend some time with the Lord. You want somebody to pray with you? I'm not going anywhere. I'll be right here. You got something you need to get off your chest? I'll pray with you this morning. It isn't about me. I don't put any notches in my Bible. This is between you and him this morning. But if your life needs to change, you've got an open opportunity today for it to change forever. Give him your heart. Give him your life, that you will never be the same again. Father, we thank you so much for this time in your presence. What an exciting time. God, I feel something stirring in your spirit. I have for a while now. God, I know that things are coming that we may not even understand yet. But God, I know that you're going to be right in the middle of it. I'm excited about the fire of your spirit that's coming. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. This morning, if you would like prayer, I want to be here with you. I really do want to encourage you to take the time. Maybe it's come up here and kneel and just cry out to the Lord. Maybe it's right there in your seat, whatever. I'm not here to make anybody uncomfortable or make you do anything. It's always got to be by your choice. But I want to encourage you to spend some time with the Lord before you walk out of here today. Don't leave the way you came. Let God change your life today. Amen.